On the sidelines of the synod, Tracy McClure spoke to the recently appointed bishop to the Chaldean church in Erbil, Basar Warda, who is in the Kurdish north of Iraq.
In the Kurdistan area, as many of you know, it's safe and secure, and lots of development is happening around the provinces of Erbil, Sulaymaniyah, Duhok. Our people who fled the violence from Baghdad and Mosul since 2004, let's say 50% of them have found a safe region. Some of them started already thinking of settling for good there in Kurdistan, and we are observing this via the property that's been sold, because we see that more and more people are purchasing lands and building houses.
Which so, in other words, they're selling their property in other areas of Baghdad, Mosul, and coming and buying property in Kurdistan. But this is an issue which has come up at the Synod several times. People are asked not to sell their property. Are you seeing a difference here that needs to be made?
The people that we are talking about is those who have houses in Baghdad and Mosul, and they have left them for 2 or 3 years without being used, and they are also paying rent and high one rent in Ankawa and Erbil. So instead of just freezing a property in Mosul and Baghdad and losing more and more, spending more and more money inside Kurdistan, they have decided to sell the property there and buy a property. It's not just selling, but selling and at the same time buying a property in Ankawa.
Mm-hmm. How many Christians have left the Baghdad and Mosul area and come into Kurdistan, to Erbil in particular?
It's a very difficult question because we don't have exact figures. But I would say at least 3,000 Christian families are inside the Erbil diocese, mainly in Ankawa, and mainly would be from Baghdad and Mosul. But still, the figures are not the what you call very exact in a sense.
But before this influx of people fleeing the violence, how many people were in Erbil before?
1,700 families, that's all.
So the total community now?
Is above 5,000 Christian families.
Okay. And we saw back in March a spate of violence in that area. How have things calmed down? You said that it's a little bit more secure.
I mean, it's more secure because the political process in Kurdistan region is much clearer than it is in Baghdad. So mainly the political process is going. It started there since 1991, and there were some conflicts. It went up to 2001 and 2002. That was the year of settlement, and they have negotiated the two main big parties of the Kurdish. And from 2003, more efforts were put in the developing the whole region and building and construction and inviting other investments. That's.
Some people have said that it's maybe because you've been appointed bishop.
No, definitely not. No.
But have you seen things change also in terms of relations with the local Muslim communities as well, Christians and Muslims?
I was appointed in last July, and we made the council of the priest, and we started visiting the local Muslims, figures who have also an influential role inside the Kurdish communities, at least in Erbil. So we are starting this relationships again, and all of them have said that the relationships were good and there was exchange of visits in the past between the Christians and Muslims. This mutual respect is being highlighted, and hopefully we will continue. One of my priests, who is the vicar, have studied here the morality of the Christian-Arab dialogue, and he is very keen also to establish a center for interreligious dialogue there. And he found a welcoming also spirit from the Kurdish part, and I think maybe we will go for that also.
There have been some fears that there has been an orchestrated campaign of persecution to rid Iraq of its Christians. How do you feel about that?
Those who have said this, they are right, because what we have seen and experienced from 2003 and the massive change that happened in area like Baghdad and Mosul would make us to have this conclusion. I hope I would be wrong for that, but what we have experienced would tell you this, that there are certain areas in Baghdad and Mosul are completely empty now from its Christian presence, comparing to what it had before. So I hope this is not right, I hope, but we have experienced this situation that there might be some kind of efforts to empty the Christians in Iraq.
Are the extremists involved in this, are they locally born Iraqi natives, or are they coming from outside of Iraq?
It's very hard to answer this question, because the whole situation is very complicated. There are some religious motives behind the persecution and the difficulties that we have faced. Yes, there is also political reasons behind the whole issue of Christians, Iraqi Christians. So mixing all these issues would make it very difficult to answer these questions. What we have experienced was there were very difficult years.
There, many Iraqi clergy have lamented the fact that oftentimes the Christians in Iraq were lumped all together as being associated with the Christians in the West, responsible for the war in their country. Mm. Do you think that was an important part of what changed attitudes towards Christians in Iraq?
At the beginning, there was this accusation. Although we haven't had any kind of connection with any of the, nations who came in 2003, but it was a reason to persecute Christians or to ask them to leave the area or the district. But all Iraqis have observed that we had a very Iraqi position and attitudes towards all the issues that concerns the country, and the Iraqi politicians and the society have observed that we Christians would rather, we prefer always the common good of the whole country, and it's been well known, recognized now, and very respected, and which also it's the reason that so many also Iraqi politicians have sympathy with the Christian case, that though this community, it's not just a peaceful community, but it's really an Iraqi community, has nothing to do with none of the neighboring countries or nor with the foreigners.
The failure of the government to form a new government, how has that affected security throughout the country, in your view?
In the circumstances that we have, especially at the beginning of the change that was giving in 2003, it's very hard for the ordinary people to bear the situation. If we were in another political context, maybe the whole issue of forming a government would be an ordinary one until to find a coalition, things like that. But when you have a situation like that we have in Iraq, that ordinary people are suffering, Christians and Muslims alike, from the lack of job, lack of security, things are not improving in daily life, to get the food, to get the medicine, all of these issues is still, I mean, this would make the whole issue of forming a government more difficult and to comprehend and to accept. In 20 years' time, when things would be more settled politically and security would be more stable, yes, let them discuss for the time they would like to form a government. But taking these circumstances that we live, I think forming a government would be one of the most important issues that the Iraqi politicians should go for it, and to make some sacrifices for the benefit of the people if they would like the people to go again for election. Because in this situation, I would ask, as many people would ask, who will go for next election? Who will go and to vote for the next election if we are seeing that the Iraqi politicians are fighting to get the best seats and the best benefits?
Some Christians would argue that their rights and their freedom of religion to practice their faith freely and also freedom of conscience are not protected sufficiently by the Iraqi government and by the constitution.
Yeah, there is a freedom to worship, but there is no freedom of conscience. That's all. That's well been known, and the constitutions will not support. I think we have to call for a change on that issue. That for the freedom of conscience. Yes,
I think it was. Monsignor Luis Sacco, who mentioned that, for example, if a Christian were to convert, then the whole to become Muslim, then the whole family would have to convert along with him.
Yes, yes, that's the situation, and we are calling to be changed. We are calling the government and also some of the politicians to change the situation, this case.
But is this the only case that you're interested in changing, or are there other issues that you think need to be addressed to protect the concerns or the rights of Christians?
It's what's called a parcel of rights, because at the same time, observing the demographical changes that's happening around Christian villages, and there is also some kind of political interest to change some of the status of the Christians, cities and villages, maybe we will look for more constitutional rights to protect these historical sites and to give them some kind of difficulty in buying and selling lands. So to keep the heritage, because if it's being just given and open to everyone, yes, it's the freedom that everyone would like to sell or to buy in any site. But here we are talking about a minority that it's been in sociological terms. We have to preserve the Christians. We are, let's say, 400,000-500,000 at best. So unless there is an effort from the government to protect the whole community, because of it is an authentic Iraqi community. It's not just because of Christians, but it has its own heritage, its own culture, its own history, its own contribution also to the country. So we are calling the government to take the full responsibility in protecting the community as it is.
One of the proposals that has come out and keeps being brought up is to create a Christian enclave or a Christian state or whatever you want to call it. But some people have even suggested that Kurdistan might be this place. How do you answer queries about that?
From my understanding and from the various many talks with the Christian politicians, None of them have suggested or went for a place where we gather all Christians in one spot and to keep them there. this would be another extremist position or attitudes towards the Iraqi within the Iraqi case. None of them have called for this. All of them have said that to preserve the rights within the Iraqi constitution as a whole, and if there would be any call for independent place, it would be for the historical Christian historical sites to keep it, to keep its heritage and culture. That's the main point. And of course, there are some gatherings spread all over the Valley of Nineveh. So there is no harm in having these rights being protected from the central government, not from Kurdistan. No, the proposal is for within the Iraqi constitution, not regional constitution. So the Christian politicians are heading towards that right, which is being at least protected by the Iraqi constitution. Of course, you need departments and political institutions for such status, and the best place would be the historical sites. To ally it with Kurdistan, no, I think the Iraqi Christian politicians were very clear, and they are very clear that to form such status should be within the agreement of all Iraqis. That means to use the rights which is being granted within the Iraqi constitution.
You've been speaking about protecting the Christian patrimony. When many of the Christians fled Baghdad and Mosul and so on, were any churches abandoned, convents, monasteries, church property that is no longer available to them?
In Baghdad, we have, as a Chaldeans, I would speak of 4 to 5 churches as being abandoned. Some 2 or 3 would be used occasionally. Babel College and St. Peter's Seminary is being abandoned. While in my diocese, I have to take care now to find ways of building another 2 churches to maintain the pastoral needs of the diocese. In Mosul, the bishop also have closed 3 churches, for there is no Christians around. And in the area where when Father Raghid is being killed and Bishop Faraj was kidnapped and then killed, the church is closed also.
What is preventing people from going in and taking over these church properties?
Trust is not there. I mean, people have experienced the suffering and the fear and the threats, and some of them were touched deeply in that, killing, kidnapping, asking for ransom. So to build the bridges of trust, it needs time. Part of the work of government or part of the talk about reconciliation should be to try again to build the bridges of trust again between these communities and those who are there.
I read just this morning about something I had no familiarity with. Apparently, some of the militants who've been involved in the massacres, involved in the violence against Christians, but also against Muslims, live in an area in northern Iraq, and they have been killed in the fighting themselves and have left their wives or women and their children, who do not have Iraqi citizenship, do not have access to schools, health care, or anything. And this community poses a real serious risk if something, is not done to somehow bring them back into the community in a very positive way. And so otherwise, these children could grow up and become the militants of tomorrow.
It's one of the issues that we are saying that the Iraqi politicians should make some sacrifices and start work immediately without leaving all these stories unfinished. Because we have suffered enough from unfinished stories of the past, and it's better to start immediately as they can to end these files and many others. So, yes, this impose itself as a difficulty, and it will be like a bomb for the future. It's better for the Iraqi politicians to start to think about the real problems that we are facing, and start thinking about the interest of the whole country.
Okay, before I open the questions to the floor, I have a couple more questions. There are many different churches in Iraq. How would you describe the communion between the Catholic churches and other churches present in Iraq?
I would say it's good. It's good because we have some signs, good signs of hope. Like when we talk about the friendship that we have with so many Catholic and Orthodox priests, Syrian, Armenian, Melkite. So I would say it's good. The reality is that the situation have affected also the activities which was there. But still, like even in Mosul, in the area of Mosul, in Baghdad, still some of the pastoral activities are still being done in common.
Immigration, of course, is a big concern for the churches in Iraq. So many, almost more than half of the Christian population has left the country. What contact do you have with these people? I've spoken with people like, for example, Caritas in Lebanon and other areas, other countries in the region, and they say the Iraqi refugees are coming to their countries and they have no intention of going back. What relationship do you have with these people who are now finding themselves in the diaspora?
What we have started is a campaign of raising awareness about the status of the immigrants people outside the country and the needs that they really are looking for, especially for families who have been divided in two or three parts in the what we call waiting countries. And the another important part of the campaign is to care and think focus on those people who are still inside the country, because this would be the big challenge that we are facing in the coming years, is to keep keep our community inside the country. And it won't be an easy task. It won't be with talks and homilies and suggestions. It would need efforts. Finding means and providing possibilities for them to stay. To convince them to stay, it's getting very hard, because day by day they would find that the future is very ambiguous. So it's better, and they have nothing to risk. If they would immigrate, maybe they would get something for the future of their families. Our campaign, myself and Bishop Emil Nona, is to think more and to focus more our efforts on those people who are inside the country, and at the same time raising awareness about those who still are caught up in the middle. We have had some cases of families who have been waiting for maybe 7-8 years in Turkey and Syria and Jordan. Those cases should be resolved.
And they want to come back.
I would say one of 50 would come back, would think of coming back. Because if I would like to tell them, come back, I have to at least provide them with a house. Not any other issue, not to think about any other issue. At least a house. Because tell them to come back, and as they would tell, okay, where we should stay? We have a family. It's not a matter of... just coming back and keeping ourselves there inside the country. So if I would say, if there was a possibility for providing at least houses for them, I would, yeah, I would be, I mean, quite honest in telling all people, come back.
One, it has been suggested during the synod that church property be put increasingly at the disposal of the faithful to keep them, to encourage them to stay in their countries. Certain things have been proposed, such as creating a kind of a plan where they could rent the property for 99 years and have the, or have the land for 99 years so they can construct a house or something like that. Are these propositions that you would be prepared to make or that you're thinking about for your diocese?
More concretely, we have formed a committee from lay people who and experts in that on that field. And we have promised that we, depending on the issues of solidarity and common good of the community, to find to establish a foundation of investment from the rich Christians who are still inside the country. And I would I would be more than happy to grant all the Christian church property that's there at the disposal of those people who also have all their hearts also for the issue of Iraqi Christians. And we have excellent and very courageous committed lay people who would love to work with the church, and definitely we will be able to help them at least with the property. And we know that we've been blessed with few pieces of lands that would be very useful for such project. Hopefully, within a year, we will be able to establish such foundation and to go for a concrete projects like a hospital and two schools inside Erbil, so to start to the work.
I imagine you'd also be looking for the Iraqi Christians in the diaspora to help you out with that project.
Let's start from inside, and then.
Another thing, of obviously, the Christians in the diaspora would be looking for in order to encourage them to go back would be jobs, employment, or business opportunities.
Yeah, we will do our best because it's it's a big issue. It's to tackle. It's issues should be more concern of the government, and on that issue also we are going to suggest for the government some proposals of employment things. But it's not just our responsibility. It's the responsibility of the whole community, government, and other institutions. But we would work our best to provide some of it.